Thursday of the fifth week of Lent. All glory is reflected glory. The book of Genesis, chapter 17, verses 3 to 9, and the Gospel of John, chapter 8, verses 51 through 59. In the first reading from Genesis, we have an encounter between Yahweh and Abraham when he is 99 years old. It is a third time repeat of his first call, each time adding a new element to the meaning of their relationship or covenant. But one thing that does not change is that although the relationship is totally initiated and invited from God's side, it is still a bilateral covenant. There is always a bit more of a requirement expected from Abraham each time, leaving his country and family, than the sacrifice of animals. And here there will be required circumcision and belief that he will have a son, at which both he and his wife Sarah laugh. The God-human relationship must start bilaterally. It is the only way to get us into the boxing ring. It is the only way to hold us still in one place long enough so the beginnings of the give and take of relationship can happen. But it is not the final goal. Many, if not most, never get beyond religion as requirements. What does your religion require of you? Is that wrong in your denomination? It is the question of the rich young man. What must I do to inherit eternal life? Since all human relationships are bilateral, least of all the parent and child, we tend to structure all of our experiences in that way. In other words, we are almost totally unprepared for God, unless we know how a perfect parent might love a child unilaterally. Gradually, as the Hebrew people are continually unfaithful to the initial Abrahamic covenant, we will see that it becomes more and more unilateral from God's side. Really quite wonderful. God does it all, whether or not we cooperate at all. I would not believe it myself if I did not read the successive covenants with Noah and David, and of course what Jeremiah predicts and we eventually called the New Covenant with Jesus. Each succeeding time, God in effect says, I might as well let you in on the big secret. I do it all anyway. Jesus becomes the living icon of that new and everlasting covenant where God does all the loving and we do all the receiving. It is symbolized every time we hand out the cup of his blood to you and say the new and everlasting covenant. This gives you a foundation and a background with which to read the gospel today. Jesus himself stands in a right relationship with his Father and receives all his glory from him. It is a fully reflected glory and therefore unwavering, constant, infinite, and from one source. This is exactly the eternal life that he speaks of here, and then even tells us that we can have it too. So that you see the sequencing. Jesus perfectly reflects God's glory given from the Father, then we are invited to receive and reflect that same glory which is reflected from Jesus. It is all a reflection received, a glory given, inherent, and unilateral gift from God's side. Remember, we're not talking about psychological or moral worthiness here. we are talking about metaphysical identity, our true self, which is our birthright from God. We humans are always unwhole, but we still receive and can ever more perfectly reflect our divine identity in God. This is the great I Am, which Jesus claims at the very end of today's gospel. And yet, because they refuse to see it in themselves or in Him, they throw rocks at Him. It is not just hating Him, but it is an expression of their own self-hatred. Reflect on the following passage, which is so central and crucial to our understanding that I will add my commentary within the text.